What's up? This is Alex Pardo welcoming you to another Flip Empire podcast show, episode 407.
Welcome to the Flip Empire show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? What's going on, guys? I trust and hope that this podcast finds you doing well, finds you thriving, finds you healthy and safe. Same for your loved ones amidst the craziness and the uncertainty. You know, we're at the time of this getting released. We are about a month and a half into this new reality, and I'm recording this in mid-April, so it just feels like things are just changing by the day. And I wanna start today's episode with just some unfiltered thoughts as far as that's concerned. You know, as entrepreneurs, as visionaries, or maybe you're more of a COO type, maybe you're an integrator. If you're listening to this, you desire more out of your life and more out of your business. And so this message is for you, regardless of where you're at in your business. The ability to adjust, adapt, modify, and tweak is extremely critical. And I realize that now more than ever. You know, there's so many things we can't control. And what this whole thing has made me not even realize, because I've always known this, but what it's done is it's brought the awareness to the forefront, is that you have to focus on the things you can control. I posted just a simple quote on my Instagram several weeks ago. You know, control the controllables, right? Focus on what you can control, and always think about what's right in about something, not what's wrong. Think about what you do have, not what you don't have. And I share that all that to say that you shouldn't be ambitious and you shouldn't want more, but you need to adjust, you need to adapt, and you need to kind of find your way, get back to your routine, find what works in this new reality, you know, this new climate that we're now living in. And I got to be honest, you know, I shared a Facebook Live several weeks ago, and I just got really vulnerable because I was having a little bit of a rough morning and just feeling like I was totally out of whack, you know, not spending as much time as I'm used to with my family. I have worked more in the last month, although I'm starting to find my way back to some normalcy while still continuing to push and do what I got to do. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, the first month, mid March through mid April, I was working more in that month than I have in years. And that's not to say I don't work hard and I don't work smart and I don't put in time, because I do. But I recognized that this was a season in my life and I needed to stop kind of beating myself up, but I needed to get back to what was important. You know, for me, this whole experience has drawn me closer to God. It's made me realize even that much more what's important, although I've always known what's important. And then I also understand, and I've given myself some grace and some latitude that, like, sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves and you got to do what you got to do, right? And not just for you and your family, but for your team and for the people that rely on you. And that's what I've done. And look, I don't sit here behind this microphone as the host of this podcast claiming to have all the answers, because I certainly don't. But I could not imagine going through this alone. I'm so grateful. I just feel so blessed to have the people in my life that I do, not just my family, of course, and not just my team members, but others in this industry. You know, that's something else I've realized with this whole pandemic, is how much closer we've all become and how much we're willing to walk alongside each other and help each other out. And if you happen to be fortunate enough to be a part of the right group, the right mastermind, the right community, you feel that like 10x on a whole different level. So where I want to kind of transition, I just wanted to kind of share again some unfiltered thoughts with you. Where I want to transition is earlier this month, you know, speaking of being grateful and blessed with certain team members, you know, I have just solid, incredible, amazing people on my team. And I'm so grateful that God's put them in my life. And one of them, Adrian, you know, has been for the last year now has been spearheading our quarterly meetings. And we had our quarterly meeting earlier this year. Of course, it was it looked different than most other quarterly meetings. It was on Zoom. It was about four and a half hours versus it being a full 8-hour day. And we had to tweak, speaking of adjusting and adapting, we had to tweak the format. So what I'd like to do here, I think this could be beneficial for you, is whether you're listening to this and you're a one-man or a one-woman show and you don't have any team members, or whether you have a team of 20 or 50, I know there's both sides of the spectrum here that listen and subscribe to the Flip Empire show. What I'd like you to do is kind of figure out how to have something work for you versus you working for it. Here's what I mean by that. It's now been almost 2.5 years since we have been, since I've read Traction, hired an implementer, and have been running and operating on EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pick up the book by Gino Wickman called Traction. Phenomenal book. And it's a very structured way in which to operate your business. You know, you got your weekly level 10 meetings, and you have your quarterly, and you have your annual meeting, and then you have, you break it down and you have quarterly rocks. And then from there you have to-dos, and you have a list of your IDS, right? The things you need to identify, discuss, and solve. So it's very structured, and it's a phenomenal operating system. It's certainly not the only one out there, but we've been operating on that for 2.5 years, and sometimes you go through the motions because this is the way you do things. And you know, credit to one of my team members, Adrian, for kind of challenging that and saying, hey, you know, basically, is EOS working for us, or are we working for EOS? Meaning, are we doing things just because this is the way we've been doing them for the last couple of years and this is the structure, or how do we tweak and modify things to work for us? So he took the lead, and and what I kind of want to do is just share with you the structure and the template of this modified quarterly EOS meeting that we had, because I think it could be beneficial to you. Whether or not you run and operate on EOS, you can take certain elements of what works. So we always start all of our team meetings with so each of us something we're grateful for, and then good news. So gratitude and good news. And it could be on the personal side or on the business side. So we started there, and then we do a 15-minute check-in. And the check-in always starts, well, not always, but usually it starts. And in this particular case, we kept this from the EOS quarterly meeting, is, what are your expectations for this quarterly meeting? And each of us go around and we share, hey, this is my expectation. This is what I want to get out of this. And then the person running the meeting either confirms, okay, you know, we're going to address that. We're going to meet that expectation. Or if it's something that's just not going to be covered in that quarterly, it's tabled and you're setting up an offline meeting or whatever the case might be. It could be an action item, or it just really depends, right? So each of us went down the line, and we talked about our expectations for the meeting, which, by the way, I'm happy to say they were all addressed. And this was probably one of the best quarterly meetings we've ever had, despite it looking and feeling different, right? We looked at our core focus, and we asked ourselves, hey, is this still our core focus? And we read the one sentence that makes up our core focus. And so did we have to refresh it, or is this still our core focus? And it was. We looked at our three uniques. You know, the three uniques are the things that make you different from all your other competitors, the things that make you unique. Now, it's very possible that you have, you know, a local competitor that has one of your uniques. It's highly unlikely that they have two of your uniques, and they should never have three of your uniques. So we went down the list, and we each read one of our uniques, and we said, hey, does this still apply? And in our particular case, there could be some competitors that have one or two of these uniques, but not all three. And so we went out there and we said, hey, this still applies. This is our core focus. These are our three uniques. Are we living this? Are we embodying this, et cetera? And then from there, you can, by the way, what I'll do is in the show notes page, we'll include links to some other podcast episodes I've done on the structure of L10, the structure of a quarterly meeting. So again, this was modified. This was tweaked because we're doing this on Zoom. It was we're not going to spend 8 hours on Zoom. So we spent four and a half hours, and it was phenomenal. We went through our Q1, and we looked at, you know, so Adrian had prepared like a table. And he outlined, you know, from our KPIs from the bottom to the top, the main KPIs that we track on a weekly basis, right? Number of leads, number of appointments, number of offers sent, number of AB contracts executed, number of BC contracts executed, deals closed, revenue per deal, and then total overall revenue. And then on the other side, we had columns, you know, here's our annual, here was our Q1. Here's our annual goal. Here's our Q1 projected. Here's our Q1 actual. And then we broke it down by month, January, February, March. And we just discussed it and we said, hey, what do these numbers tell us? It's not enough to have the data or to have the data, however you want to say it. But what does the data tell you? What's the story that these numbers tell you? And then thirdly, what are you going to do with this information? And that's one of the things I challenge with the team is, you know, our KPIs, I've always felt like we're pretty dialed in. And the last several months, we've kind of gotten a little bit away from that. And I told them, hey guys, we have the KPIs in front of us. These are the numbers. What does the story tell us? What are these KPIs telling us? And then thirdly, what are we going to do about it? And we'll address that later on in the quarterly. We got into our marketing KPIs. You know, we looked at direct mail. We looked at text message marketing, et cetera. You know, we're starting to get a better grasp on our KPIs when it comes to text message marketing. We use a platform called Lead Sherpa. You know, and so we looked at how many records have been skip traced, how many text messages have been sent, how many leads have come from those interactions. And then from there, how many of those leads have turned into appointments or offers, AB contracts, BC contracts, you know, closings, et cetera. And so we started to look at all those numbers. And by the way, I'm just scrolling down here, our Google Doc agenda, as I'm speaking with you. And hopefully you're getting something out of this. The idea behind this particular episode is not so much to tell you, give you any specifics on what was discussed per se in our quarterly, although some of you might find that beneficial, but more just to kind of drive home the point that, especially during this pandemic and coronavirus and all that, we need to adjust, we need to adapt. And this is an example of how we did it. And it ended up being one of the best quarterlies we've ever had. And I'm excited. We're already seeing some of the fruits a couple weeks ago from that quarterly. So make sure you're establishing or you're reestablishing a cadence and a rhythm to your business, your team meetings, communication is so important, et cetera. So let me kind of keep going down the line here. We got into our marketing KPIs. We looked at AB contracts, BC contracts, deals closed, revenue generated all by campaign. So which campaigns generated the contracts, which campaigns generated, you know, the revenue, et cetera. And then we established new goals based on our historical KPIs, based on Q1 KPIs. And if you're listening to this and I haven't addressed it already and you don't know what a KPI is a key performance indicator. Think of you getting in a race car and or any car for that matter, and you got your speedometer and you got, you know, it tells you how much gas you have. These things tell you the health of the business, where you're going, and then it's up to you to make decisions based on what those numbers tell you. So we looked at some joint venture marketing campaigns. So if you're listening to this, one of the things that years ago we did is, we would bring on joint venture marketing partners that they would fund certain marketing campaigns because we have the systems, we have the team. We would essentially process everything from A to Z. We would handle it. They would kind of be like a passive, silent joint venture marketing partner, and they would get a smaller percentage of the deal, obviously. And they're, you know, ideally you do this on particular marketing channels where you don't have marketing dollars being deployed. Maybe it's, you don't have a certain expertise or a skill set around that particular marketing channel. Like let's say you've never done a pay-per-click campaign and, you know, you don't have any of your marketing dollars, allocated towards pay-per-click. Well, there might be a relationship you have with someone in your market or someone outside of your market that's really, really good at pay-per-click, where you guys can partner together. They can pay for the marketing. They can spearhead that process of generating pay-per-click leads into your business. You guys do the deals and provide the sweat equity, and you guys come up with some sort of split, right? That's something that you can do. We reviewed our Q1 rocks. What was accomplished? What wasn't accomplished? We each got into, hey, what worked in Q1? And we each went down the line and we started sharing, hey, these are all the things that worked. What didn't work in Q1, right? Where did we fail? Where did we fall short? Why did that happen? What can we do to address that moving forward? And then from there, we got into the last two portions of the quarterly. We got into strategic planning for Q2, you know, and so we talked about our marketing plan and our calendar. We talked about a change in approach. We talked about now doing more deals virtually because we're not meeting with sellers face-to-face. We're doing more deals on the phone. What are some of the resources we have? How can we be more resourceful, right? The best resource you could possibly have is resourcefulness. And so we each went down the line and we said, hey, is there clarity here? Are you clear on the strategy moving forward? Or, you know, where do you see potential hiccups or roadblocks? And so we each went down the line. We talked about we're getting into another market, you know, so we're not just putting all our eggs here in Miami, in South Florida. And so we talked about that, and I'm spearheading that particular process. And, you know, who are my strategic partners, strategic alliances, joint venture, potential joint venture partners, boots on the ground in some of the markets that we're looking at. And so I had conversations with them, and we're strategizing and game planning and seeing, hey, where is there a hole in your boat that we might be able to plug? How can we work together? Where are the synergies between our businesses, between us? And so again, this kind of ties back to just the importance of being well-networked and well-connected and having a community, whether it's a mastermind or whether it's a meetup group that you run, or even it's maybe you host a podcast and you have a community of podcast subscribers, whatever the case might be, always be connected, you know. And I'm so fortunate. I'm a part of, Steve and I run Ascend, you know, with high-level entrepreneurs that want more out of their life and their business. And we get to plug in, and we're having weekly calls, and we have a private Facebook group where there's constant resources and systems and challenges and questions being presented. And I'm a part of a few other groups as well. So fortunately, I have a network of people across the country. And so, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, I'm really, really good at this. And maybe I'm having maybe I'm struggling in this particular area of my business, or maybe my market is really difficult. Start to see where you can align yourself with others that maybe don't have that skill set, don't have that expertise. Hopefully this is making sense. Kind of moving on down the line here, we talked about dispositions. You know, if you listen to the last podcast with Joe McCall, dispositions is becoming increasingly important as we have shifted from a seller's market to a buyer's market, and more buyers are being cautious and being put on the sideline. You constantly have to be building those relationships, keeping your finger on the pulse as to how they're seeing the market, how they're operating. Are they buying? Are they not buying? What's their new revised buy box and criteria look like? Make sure you get that information, and make sure you're going out and establishing relationships with new cash buyers. Because believe it or not, there's other people that are aggressively looking to buy. And there's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace. Don't get me wrong, but there are some people that are just well capitalized and are looking to purchase opportunities. You know, you've probably heard that wealth is not destroyed or created. It's merely transferred from one party to another. That's what happens during, you know, recessions and during market downturns, et cetera. So we talked about dispositions, et cetera. And then we ended with, we didn't end, but we discussed, we carved out about an hour to go through our IDS section, which is all the issues in your business. You want to identify the issue, you want to discuss the issue, and then you want to solve the issue. And so we strategically went down the line. We focused on the issues that move the needle the most in the business. In other words, hey, if we were to accomplish this, or if we were to knock out this particular issue, it would really progress us and move us toward our goal, towards our vision and where we're going. And then we ended on next steps and conclude. So often we have meetings, and when I say we, I'm speaking generally, not our team, because of the way that we're structured and the way we operate, but you don't want to have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. You want to have a meeting, and there's got to be an action item. There's got to be a conclusion. There's got to be a next step. Hey, it's got to be very clear as to who's taking on a certain rock or taking on a certain to-do and then moving it forward. Hopefully that makes sense. I almost freaked out for a second because I looked at my screen and I thought this wasn't being recorded, but it is. So we're all good. That would have sucked if it wasn't recorded, but if it wasn't, I just would have come back and made it better. But anyway, always end, make sure there's clarity on rocks, to-dos, responsibilities, who's doing what. Only one person can be accountable for one thing. What you don't want to do is, hey, speak in general, vague terms like, hey, we should really do this. And then I've seen that happen so often in meetings. Hey, you know, I think we should do this. And then somebody else has an idea. And then like, there's no follow through to the thought, or people will agree on something, but there's no like specific clarity as to who's taking that and moving it forward. It's more like vague. And then what happens is it never gets done, you know, and then you're meeting 3 months later and you're like, well, damn, that didn't get done. So make sure you're documenting this. Ideally, you have someone who's documenting the to-dos and the action items, et cetera. And then we end with rating the meeting, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. And if it's not at least a 9, what could we have done to make it better? We talked about what did you like with this new quarterly meeting format? What didn't work? What did work? And that's it. And that was about 4 hours. So anyway, just wanted to share this with you. Again, I don't take credit for coming up with this structure. It was my team member, Adrian, who's been leading our quarterlies. And don't get me wrong, I had some input and I added some things, but he really want to give him credit because he's the one that kind of took the bull by the horns. And because of his preparation, that's the last thing I want to end with. If you are leading these quarterlies or your team meetings, the more prep work you can do heading into it, the better. We're back to doing our weekly sales, acquisition sales trainings, which I'm leading. The meetings where I'm more prepped and I know exactly what I'm going to do and what we're going to talk about, those are always come out better than when you kind of like, I never really wing it, but when you kind of just go with the flow, the more prep work you can do in certain instances, the better. Conversely, you know, sometimes I prefer on the podcast here to just hop behind the mic and just kind of share, like I said earlier, unfiltered thoughts. I feel like it comes out more genuine, more authentic. And I feel like I have a decent ability to just be able to do that, to come on here and just kind of, hopefully you find, effectively communicate my thoughts and communicate the point that I'm trying to get across. So anyways, my friends, thank you. Always usually start and end the show with thanking you. I don't take you for granted. I know these are crazy times right now. My friend Jason always says, you know, put a fence around your mind, protect it from negativity. Make sure you're exercising or you're working out or whatever that may look like. Again, you might not be able to go to the gym, but you can go run. You can do push-ups. You can do sit-ups. Hopefully you're in a position, where you're able to just adapt and adjust and take advantage. And if you're not, don't beat yourself up over it, but just start today. Make a decision, control the controllables, focus on what you can control, stay positive, stay connected to the right people. And we got to be a chameleon. You know, sometimes we got to kind of adjust and adapt and move forward. So I think I've driven that point home. I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm actually getting ready to hop on our daily huddle here. So I got to run. I got to bounce. And I will connect with you on the next one. By the way, one last thing. I've had several of you reach out to me on Facebook message. A few of you sent me an email asking about Ascend. We are almost at capacity, but if you did want to connect with Steve and I, even if we're at capacity, happy to talk to you. There's no decisions are made on that call. It's more to kind of vet and feel each other out, for us to learn more about you and your goals and your life, your business, where you want to go. And we'll tell you about Ascend and go from there. So if you have any interest in that, ascendyoursuccess.com. Otherwise, I'm here for you. Continue to plug into the podcast, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the upcoming episodes with as far as some of the content that I'm going to be delivering and some of the experts I'm going to be interviewing. So have an amazing, amazing day. Stay blessed. Keep moving forward, and we will get through this, okay? This show is sponsored by Ascend. Our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.